Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. I don't think I have a long message this morning. I know it's been a while since I've preached to you in person, but I don't know. We'll see. Genesis chapter 20. But what I do have, it is from God, and it is important, and it will be valuable to our lives. Genesis chapter 20. Let's go there. We're going to begin reading verse 1, and I want to read down, I think, through verse 8. Verse 20, Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country. He dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.'" Now, that's kind of true, kind of. Maybe you didn't know this, but Sarah was actually Abraham's half-sister. She was the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother. And she was so beautiful that he felt like that if these people in these foreign lands knew that this was his wife, they'd kill him for his wife. I have to believe God every time I take my wife somewhere. You know, I know what Abraham's going through. You know, it's like, that's my sister. Amen. Boy, am I going to have a good day today. Hallelujah. Amen. But, you know, so Abraham's kind of telling the truth, but kind of not, you know, because, you know, truth isn't just necessarily what you say, it's why you said it. You understand? His motive is to deceive them, see? So even though, yeah, she is his sister, he's withholding the fact that he's married to his half-sister, okay? All right? Because, you know, where he came from, you understand that Abraham was before the law. How many know that? I mean, he did not know any of the law. And later on, the law came along, and it told us, don't marry your sister. Okay. It hasn't caught up with some places in our country yet, but anyway. But yet, we learn, you know, through the Bible that that's not a good thing. Okay. But Abraham didn't know that, you know. And, but so, he tells, you know, the people of the land, she's my sister. Now, verse 2, last part. "And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her." I mean, he saw her and he said, I'm taking her. "And God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and he said to him, 'Behold, you are but a dead man.'" How'd you like God to say that to you? You're but a dead man. Think that might shake you up a little bit? "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, she is a man's wife." And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation? Will you also slay a righteous nation?" He said, "Said she not unto me, 'She is my sister?'" Said he not unto me, "She is my sister?" She even herself said, "He's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this." I want you to notice the phrase, integrity of heart. Because that's what we're going to talk about tonight, or this morning, integrity of heart. "In the integrity of my heart, I've done this. And God said unto him in a dream," verse 6, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, allowed thee not to touch her. I kept you from touching her because of your integrity." Think about that. Now, that's a revealing statement that God, if you have integrity, and we're going to read the other two verses in a little bit, but if you have integrity of heart, God will keep some things from happening in your life that might otherwise happen. Just because of your integrity. Come on now. See, my mind went back as I was thinking about this particular thought here that God will keep you. My mind went back to when we first began our church. We were in our first building, and we had a person come, and they hooked into the church, and they were faithful, and they loved our ministry. They loved Phyllis and I. We were respectful, and they had been coming for a while. Now, I knew nothing about their background. I just knew their presence. That's all I knew. And so I decided, you know, that I thought this person would make a great youth minister. And I'm going to make them a youth minister. And I was getting ready to do it. And before I did it, you know, it might have been, I can't remember, I'm not clear on all the details, but it may have been just a few days before I got ready to do it, I had lunch with the pastor here in town. And we were just talking. We were just chit-chat, you know, just talking. And I mentioned this person, and I said, I'm going to make him my youth minister. He said, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I said, well, why? And he began to tell me a little bit about their past and how they had been ran out of another church and what they had done with him. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I just about stuck somebody over young people that could have violated them. Now, maybe you don't take that serious like I do, but I take it very seriously. I guard our young people the best I know how. And nobody just comes in off the street and works with them. I have to know you. Well, I looked back and I thought, God, that could have destroyed our church at the very beginning. Had I went ahead and did what I was going to do, and this person began to manifest their previous character, we could have really tore some things up. I thank God. You know, and I believe because in the integrity of my heart, I wasn't just trying to fill a spot. I just, in the integrity of my heart, wanted to help people. Amen. And so here, Abimelech, he's taking Sarah. I mean, she's going to be his wife. But God said, I kept you. You know this had to be God. I kept you from the honeymoon. I kept you from the honeymoon because she's another man's wife. And you had integrity of heart. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now I said, you know, I'm not going to go long this morning, but you can still say amen, all right? Now, verse 7, but let's read verse 6 again. I want to read it again. And God said to him in a dream, yeah, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. You thought she was a single woman. You were taking her to your wife. For I also withheld you from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet. And he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore not... If you restore not, know that you shall surely die. That doesn't give you a whole lot of choices, does it? Thou and all that are thine. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all these servants, and he told all these things in their ears, and the men, the King James says, were sore afraid, or they were very afraid. They were very afraid. See, here's the thing. This shook these people up. When they realized what this king just about did, it shook his men up. Now, it shows me they still had something called conscience. Now, here's the thing that we are seeing in our world today, and, you know, I don't want to just bring up the negative. We're back. We've had a good time so far. Let's continue it, all right? But here's the thing about in our country and all over the world is conscience is being seared. It's being belittled. It's being put down. If you feel bad for anything, you know, you're looked down on. Amen. And we're going to talk about some of this. I've got about three passages I want to read this morning. But we have to understand. See, Paul said this. He said in Acts, he said, I've lived in good conscience all my life before God and before men. Now, was he always right? No. But he was doing what he thought was right. And because he had some integrity of heart, God was able to get the truth to him. You know, there's the last two presidential elections, you know. Woohoo! The last two presidential elections, there's been a Democrat candidate running. I'll leave him unnamed. Most of you will figure him out. Well, I'll leave him on the name. He's been running. And he has the worst ideas of any of them. And they've all got bad ones. Most politicians do. But some have some really bad ones. And he's got some terrible ones. I'm thinking, if we did what you said, we'd be broke. We'd be a third world country. I'm thinking, when you people go to third world countries, you must go to the vacation spots. Because if you think their policies work, the only way you could think they work is if you go to the vacation spots. But if you go where in the downtown cities where people live, you'll find out this is bad. This is really bad. This does not work. But he has some of those terrible policies and ideals of any of the candidates, but of that side, I respect him more than any of the others. So why would that be, Pastor? Because when he's with group A, he's the same as he is with group B or C or D. There's no guessing where he's at. He tells you. He doesn't promise something he's not really believe he will deliver. I respect that. I totally disagree and think you're a nut. But I respect. Come on, help me out, somebody. I respect the fact that you're true to what you're saying. That shows some integrity of heart. In other words, I'm not changing because I'm before this group over here. I am what I am. I'm not voting for him. If I could, I'd put him on a boat and ship him somewhere. And everybody like him. Well, the love of Christ is flowing in this message, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. But you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying about this man is the fact that I can, even though I totally disagree with him, I can respect him that he's honest about what he believes, and he'll tell you what he believes. Like it or not, this is what I believe. Well, I don't like it, okay? I'm good with that. You understand what I'm saying? See, I don't have any problem with going to witness somebody and say, I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just get out of my face. I don't like you. Okay, we know where we're standing. That's good. I've gone in and get the finger given to me. I understand what that means. That means getteth thou out. I got it. I don't want you to be a hypocrite with me, all right? Just put it out there straight. I got it. Amen. But when we talk about integrity, I'm going to tell you, you know who has the most integrity of anybody? God. The Bible says God's not a man that he would lie. Amen. Nor the son of man that he would repent. Jeremiah, he said, I watch over my word to perform it. Think about this. I like the psalm. What psalm says about it. God said, I've exalted my word above all of my name. Now, why is that? Because if your word's no good, your name's no good. I think back to my banking days when I was a teenager. You know, I would buy vehicles, you know, and we bought them on credit, you know. But I remember how the banker, see, you can't do this if you don't have a good name. I would call the banker, our local banker in our town. You know, we only had, I don't know, you could count our banks on one hand. My wife says two. There might have been three, but maybe the third one closed down. I don't know. But we didn't have very many banks. But anyway, so we, you know, and it's a small town. You know, and we know one another. So I would call and I'd say, look, I want to buy a car. And here's what the banker would say. He'd say, just buy the car, write the check, and we'll put the money on the account. And we'll do the paperwork later. Well, how many know that's a loose way to do business today, right? See, you couldn't do that today because even Christians, so-called Christians, would take advantage of you. Not in here. But you know those ones that the empty seats by you? You know, no, I'm teasing. Nobody comes to this church would do that, right? Are you with me now? See, it's good that you can give out T-shirts with your church name on them and let people wear them. I didn't say that. First Lady said that. We just want to make sure you wear the T-shirt to the right places, all right, and do the right things. You know, we don't want you down there throwing a fit at Wendy's and they look at Oasis Church. What church do you go to? That's obvious. you understand that we have to be like God and have integrity. Now, God exalts his word above all of his name. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't. See, God exalts his word. In other words, God is the same in heaven as he would be on earth. Right? See, we need to be the same no matter where we're at. Because we are who we are, whether we're in church or whether we're at home. See, sometimes you meet Christians and they're good, they're sweet, they're syrupy at church, but then at home, they're not with their family. There's a lack of integrity. Hallelujah. It's hard to preach with all this shouting going on. I've actually preached at a church one time where they shouted too much for me. I was like, that never happened again in history. Remember that night? I thought, man, you people need to tone it down. I'm trying to preach here. I thought, you don't have to say that very often. Matter of fact, that was the only time it ever happened in 30-some years of ministry, almost 40 years of ministry. But anyway, and it's not happening today, by the way. But I just want to say to you, see, we got to be the same. See, that's integrity to man. See, Jesus Christ is the same. Right? What? Yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe anybody tells me Jesus doesn't heal today. Because that's calling into question his integrity. His integrity says he does. He's the same. Right? And he even told his disciples, he said, you go and do everything I've commanded you to do, and you teach the nations to do what I've commanded you to do, which was heal the sick. So I know he still heals. Because of his integrity. God never changes. He's, I'm the Lord, I change not. The Bible tells us in the Proverbs, don't mess around with those that are given to change. Hate, that's a strong word, but don't you just like people that they're up one day and down the next? You never know. I had a boss like that one time. One day he'd come in, he was a nice guy. The next day he'd come in, he was a maniac. And I thought, I don't need this, and quit. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Kings. Come on, are you getting something now? I'm just going a little bit here. 1 Kings chapter 9. Go there, 1 Kings chapter 9. We're talking about integrity. Our greatest example of integrity is God. God keeps his word. He told the Jewish people what would happen to them because of their disobedience. And he said, you'll be scattered all over the earth and all the nations. But he said, in the latter days, I'll bring you back. Well, we saw that. We saw that, and we're seeing that happen because God keeps his word. He, even though God made his word, 5,000 years ago or more to a man by the name of Abraham, God hadn't forgot about that. Right. Are you with me now? See, integrity, we think integrity is big things, but sometimes integrity is little things. Someone some days ago sent me a text, and they were asking for some spiritual help, And I was really busy and really couldn't do anything that day. And it wasn't an emergency. Had it been an emergency, then you prioritize, you understand. But it wasn't an emergency, but yet they needed some spiritual help. And so, I sent them a text back. I said, well, right now, I can't get to you, but I will get back to you later today or tomorrow. All right? Well, that day stayed filled up. I didn't get back to them, and the next day got filled up. And as the day wore on, it got late, and I thought, I went back and looked at my text to make sure I said what I said. And I said what I said. I said, I'll get back either today or tomorrow. But yet, I heard this voice inside of me making excuses because it was getting later in the day. And it was saying, well, you can always, maybe tomorrow. Get back tomorrow. I said, that's not what I said. See, you have to keep your own word, right? God's got faith in his word, right? So I did. I got back to him that day. I was kind of tied up. It doesn't matter. I got to stop. I got to deal with this right now. But God keeps his own word, right? We understand that through faith the worlds were made by the word of God, right? So God releases faith in his own word. We should be so full of integrity that when we say something, that we can release our faith in it, that we're going to keep it, we're going to do it. Now, I don't have time nor the inclination to do this morning, but this Bible is full of scriptures on integrity of heart, about what God will do for you if you have integrity, how he'll keep you.
Why do we need to preach this today? Because the opposite's being taught. Now, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings, you got that? Yeah. Chapter 9. I want to read. This is God talking to King Solomon, David's son. Verse 4, and he says in verse 4, if you will walk before me as David, your father, walked in integrity of heart. So David had, you know, remember the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. See, how many know David was not perfect, right? You know, you'll find, I don't remember, it may be later on in the Kings where it talks about, God talks about David again to Solomon, or he's talking to someone about David, and he says, he obeyed me in everything except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. You know, the Bathsheba, David got off, went off the rails then. But what did he do when he did blow it? He got it right, didn't he? He repented, made it right. And so integrity of heart doesn't mean you've never missed it, but it just means when you miss it, you take responsibility for it. Yeah. Amen? In other words, you own up. Hallelujah. You learn that God wants us to live like and act like Him. Amen. He's full of integrity. He'll keep His word. You know, I just learned this. I learned this a long time ago. You know, I don't question God. I don't question God. What I mean by that, I don't question whether He's the problem. You understand? In other words, if something's not coming to pass in my life, I don't ever look to heaven and say, what's going on up there? I mean, we got a shortage going on or something? Is there a shortage of healing going on in heaven? If there are, just tell me, I understand. I don't look to heaven. I look down here because I know that if there's any issues, it's either me or the devil or both of us. And most time it's both of us. Well, this is really going over big anyway. Listen, you have to understand, God keeps His word. If we ever think He's broke His word to us, think again. It's on our end, not His. We may not know why, but it's on our end. It's not His end. So He said, verse 4, if you will walk before me as David your father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness and do according to all that I've commanded you and will keep all my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail you a man to sit upon the throne of Israel. But if you shall turn from following me, you or your children, and you will not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Now let's stop there just for a minute, because I think we need to say something here. Look, we have a situation in our country. We have a situation, maybe in other countries, I'm sure it is. We have a situation where people are now saying, who gets to decide what's right and wrong? All right? Has anybody ever heard of something called situational ethics? Situational ethics means, basically, that each person can decide based on their own ideals or their own situation at the moment what is right and what is wrong. There is no concrete, firm standard, concrete, firm standards. But you know what? There is. It's God's word. You say, well, that doesn't apply to sinners. No, honey, that applies to everybody. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not just for church people. Separation of church and state. Well, let me tell you something about separation of church and state. First of all, separation of church and state, if you run it down to its roots, it just means state, stay out of the church's business. That's all it means. Now, it's been interpreted to mean something different, but it doesn't matter. Even if our founders meant it the way it's been interpreted, it doesn't matter. God is still God. Amen. Are you with me now? Which means He is the ultimate authority. And actually, when you look, you know, I just laugh at people who say, well, you know, our founders were, you know, they were a bunch of drunks and perverts and, you know, they just ran around, slept around, You know, and they just, none of them were Christians, you know. And the only reason the pilgrims stopped here was to buy beer off the Indians. I laugh at that because when you look at our buildings that have scripture on them, you look at our legal system that's based on the Word of God. Most of the laws are based on the Word. Even the bankruptcy laws, many of them are based on the Word of God, taken out of Leviticus. And you look at all that and you think, all right, if our country wasn't founded as a Christian nation, how did all the Christian stuff get in it? Now, the purpose of all the secularists and humanists is to drive it all out. And we are the moral standard. I don't know about you, but I don't want my neighbor to decide what's legal and not legal. He might decide, I think it's legal for me to build my garage on your property. If there's no law, and we all decide, you know, I'm just kind of looking around the parking lot to see whose vehicle I want to take home today. I think it's legal. What are you driving? Minivan. What are you driving? Anybody here got a good car? James has taken my truck. All right. See. Help me understand, that's how far this has got to go if we don't have any concrete, solid foundation of what's right and what's wrong. If we get to decide, then who is we? If each individual gets to decide, then how can we have any law? There has to be some firm moral foundation somewhere, and it is. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And so God said, my statutes, you keep my statutes, you keep my commandments, you do what I say. See, that is where we get our integrity from, is from God's Word. See, God's the one that sets the standards. And really, when you look the world over, I mean, the standards of God's Word, even though they're being corrupted, even though they're being defiled, even though they're being ignored, yet you look and you still see the blueprint of it all over the world. Murder's murder. Why is murder murder? Because God said, thou shalt not murder. The King James says kill, but that's it really means murder. Thou shalt not murder. Why is it wrong? See, I mean, you know, a lot of things that we are our laws today, they came out of the Word of God. God's the standard. Amen. Now, let's read on here. Verse 7. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them, and this house which I've hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And this house, which is high, everyone that passes by shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, have taken hold of other gods, and have worshipped and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want someday, should the Lord tarry, I don't believe he's tarrying very much longer, but should he tarry, I don't want someday other countries to look at our country and say, how did that happen? Now, those of us that grew up knowing that communism and socialism was evil, we weren't re-educated in the re-education camps called public schools. Those of us that grew up know, and listen, you can say what you want to, but, you know, listen, I've got a real dear friend from a communist country. It's not now, but it was. Dr. Ingolf Schmidt. Let him tell you what it's like. He told me that every day in school they brainwashed him that America was bad and capitalism was bad. American people were bad. But one day, the Berlin Wall came down. Now, Pastor Inghoff was a soldier in the Communist Army. His father was a communist, a dedicated, diehard, died communist, lived and died communist. And so, Pastor Inghoff, you know, got born again. And God called him to the ministry, and he began pastoring a church. Only thing, he had to be underground. He couldn't pastor it out in the open because he would be arrested. Does that sound like something we want? Does that sound like freedom to you? Doesn't sound good to me. I totally disagree with some of the other religions in the world, but I don't think our government should go out there and stop them. We just don't have to pay any attention to what they say. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think it's... Listen, here's what I'm saying to you. I'm simply saying to you that Pastor Inghoff, he was taught, this was grilled into him from a child, he told me. They were taught in schools that Americans are bad, America's bad, capitalism is bad. He got born again. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He started pastoring a church, underground church. But then the wall in the, you know, fell down. The Berlin Wall came down, and he told me, he said they didn't build the Berlin Wall to keep people from getting in to East Germany. He said they built the Berlin Wall to keep people from getting out. He said all of our good people were leaving. All of our teachers, our good teachers and doctors and so forth were leaving, and our scientists were leaving, so they built the wall to keep them in. We're not building a wall in America to keep people in. That ought to tell you something about our country. And so anyway, but here's what I wanted to say. All that was extra, but here's what I want to say. When Pastor Inghoff, when the wall came down, he was free to travel. He's free to go places. And he came here to America. He loved it. It wasn't. He thought he'd been brainwashed that this is a bad place. That this bad people, capitalism is bad. You know, he fell in love with it. He said, this is the most friendliest people I've ever met in any country. Amen. Or in America. He loved it. He loves it so much, he wants to live here. Now, he's been on both sides. I'll take his word for it. Not some politician sitting in Washington, D.C. No, thank you. I'll talk with somebody that's lived it, not somebody that just read about it. Okay. I don't want someday that our country, because of a lack of integrity, we have such a lack of integrity in our media. We have such a lack of integrity in our politicians. Let's don't have a lack of integrity amongst God's house. That doesn't mean all media people don't have integrity. Doesn't mean all politicians don't have integrity. I met three before that did. That was a joke. It's got so bad I have to tell you when to laugh. Laugh. Acts chapter 3, go there. No, really, I'm really sincere. Not all politicians have a lack of integrity, but too many do. Acts chapter 6, you get something today? We're closing right here. All right, Acts chapter 6. Just talking about integrity. It is a big thing with God. And, you know, listen, I'm saying that because I looked at a lot of the scriptures just yesterday in the Bible on integrity, you know. And I looked at that, and there are so many scriptures in the Bible on integrity. I mean, Proverbs, Psalms, that actually use the word integrity. They don't just, you know. There's a lot of other scriptures that you know, they reference it, but they don't actually use the word integrity. But there's just a lot of scriptures just use the word integrity. God is big on integrity. God will keep his word. Amen? He will keep his word. And like I was saying, I didn't finish it, but you know, God made his gave promise to Abraham 5,000 years ago. How many know he's going to keep that word, that country, and everything he's promised them? Amen. Now, they were exiled out of the land of promise, but God's brought them back and bringing them back like he said he would. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, go there. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians, or many translations say the Hellenists, which they were, that's what they were called, Hellenists. They were Greek-speaking Jewish people. In other words, they had lived in other places. They spoke Greek, but then they had migrated back to Jerusalem. And so there was a little bit of a racial thing going on here. And there was a murmuring arose against the Grecians against the Hebrews, because the widows were neglected in their daily ministration. In other words, every day they were giving food distribution, the church was, to the widows. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason, it's not right that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, look, it's not that we're above this, but it doesn't make sense that we're called to preach and teach God's people the word and we leave it to do these tasks. It's not right. We're not above it, but it's not right. If we're doing this job, you know, if we're doing the job of serving the widows, then we're not going to be doing our job. So everybody's got a spot, and every spot's important. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men. Notice the first qualification. The King James says, of honest report. Some say good reputation, but if you got a good reputation, it's because you got an honest report. Of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, I read that scripture because I wanted you to see this. You come over here in the New Testament church and the apostles, which I believe would be people we would want to learn from. They said the first qualification we want from people is not their qualifications. We want them to have integrity. Are you with me now? See, they could, because, you know, full of the Holy Ghost would mean gifts and all of that, you know, all that. And they're saying, that's not the first thing that we're after. The first thing we're after is integrity. Hallelujah. Come on. Well, you understand, we're in a time right now where not only the world needs to hear this, the church needs to hear it. The church needs to hear it. A minister friend of mine, he's got a bigger ministry, a fairly large ministry. This is the church. We're talking about the church. Everybody say the church. He said a church group, publishing group, approached him and said, we can, his books are already in a lot of places all over the world, foreign countries. But they said, we can show you how to do this. We can show you how to get yours from being good to the best. How you do that? Well, they had different things that you could do. Number one, don't use so much scripture. Don't mention the name of Jesus so much. These are church folks. Now, here's the one that was really got him ran out of his office. They said, you need to set up a dummy company, buy a bunch of your own books, because when you do, you make it a New York Times bestseller. And then you can sell your books to other people, the ones that you bought. But we set up a dummy company, and they buy a bunch of your books. And so now you can say, sold 200,000. I ask you a question. Should church people do things like that? That wasn't everybody. So next week we're preaching on integrity of heart. Now, if you don't want me to preach this boring message again, you better answer this one right. Should church people do such stuff?
No.
Absolutely not. We should be the most integrous, honest people on the entire planet. We're not doing anything to promote ourselves. If God wants my book a number one time, it's a New York Times bestseller, I figure he's able to get it done. He doesn't need me to help him. Amen? You may not know this, but that's the way a lot of New York Times bestsellers, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but when a book says New York Times bestseller, that doesn't mean it's really sold all that much. It could have been bought by a dummy company to make it look like it sold that much. Is that integrity? No, that's not integrity. We need integrity. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.